We invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 3. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. We'll begin reading with verse number 19. And we want to see our title of our lesson out of verse number 20. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 19. We thank the Lord for the privilege of coming to your place of observing these and listening to these messages. We thank the Lord for your prayers and want you to know that we pray for you as we seek the Lord for these messages. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. Isn't that good? That as the child grew, God's grace grew towards him. There wasn't a day in Samuel's maturing that God wasn't maturing his grace and presence for him. He had grace that was needed for an infant. He had grace that was needed for an adolescent. He had grace that was needed for a young person, and so on. And God grows with his grace as we grow in wisdom and knowledge. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. What a glorious thing to hear about a young man. He didn't let any of God's words fall to the ground. There were a lot of words that other people spoke to him that he didn't give as much adherence to and credence to as he did to the words of God. That's a wonderful thing. And all Israel, and here's our lesson, 1 Samuel 3:20. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, from the northernmost to the southernmost kingdoms, and all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was, and here's the title of our lesson, established to be a prophet. Established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Shiloh once again. Dear soul, when Ichabod was born, we have the naming of him as the glory has departed. But there was another birth in Samuel that takes place before Ichabod's birth. Before Phinehas' wife bows and gives birth to a child that she takes no joy in that birth, the ladies say, Miss Phinehas, you ought to be okay. Don't die. Come on, stay with us. And you have had a young child, a boy. And the women about the time of her death said, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. Here was a woman having a baby, but it didn't mean a thing to her. She didn't regard it at all. And she named the child Ichabod. This is 1 Samuel 4:21, saying, the glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken and because her father-in-law and her husband, they both dead, and they both died at that time. Then in 1 Samuel 4:22, and she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. So before there is an Ichabod proclaimed, and dear soul, you know about Israel, they were really big on genealogies. Who was the son of, who was the son of, who was the son of? And Ichabod had to be written down on the books. Every time there was a formal rendering of genealogy, they saw that word Ichabod. And it means the glory is departed. The margin reads, where is the glory? Or there is no glory. So every time there was a formal legal rendering of genealogies proving who was the son of whom and how the land was to be sold and what was legal and who owned what, Ichabod, the word came up, and that woman put that word on the books of Israel so that they know that there was a time when the glory of God had departed. But this book starts off with the birth of another child of whom the book is named, Samuel. Every time you see the letters E-L in a name, it speaks of God. And so Samuel means ask of God. So before there was a Ichabod, there was one ask of God. Dear soul, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 8, and let me read it to you lest I mess it up. It said, "And they that dwell upon the earth shall worship him," the beast, "whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb," listen, "slain from the foundation of the world." Before there was a depravity in the human race, there was a Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13:8 tells us. And that makes you understand and see, dear soul, before you have a problem, God has already got the provision and the answer to your problem. All we need to do is believe God and trust the Lord. Before there is an Ichabod proclaimed and written on the books, so that we see now the glory has departed, the ark of God is taken, the Philistines have got it. There was already God preparing to get the thing back and preparing to bring back the glory of God. I like that word again in 1 Samuel 3:21. "And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." Do not despair, American Christian. Things in this nation are in a terrible state. There's so much lying and stealing and cheating and love of money and love of fame and so much ungodliness and nakedness and unbelievable vulgarity going on. But listen, take heart. The need is always preceded by God's providence in that he's going to take care of the need. In other words, the provision is already there before the need arises. The song said, "If I never had a problem, how would I know that God could solve them?" So do not be in despair. "There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not permit you to be tempted above that ye are able." You say, "This is more than I can stand." That's a lie. That's a lie your flesh and the devil is telling you. You can stand this because God won't allow anything to come to you above that ye are able. But he will provide this. God is faithful. He will give you that which you are able to bear. He will not cause you to suffer above what you are able to bear. So we understand and see, dear soul, that God is going to take care of everything. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is what I'm messing up trying to quote. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." Jesus Christ was taken up on a pinnacle over the temple and shown all the kingdoms of the world. You will never have that. That's not a common to man temptation. God has mitigated the temptations down to the provision that he has given the individual to be able to take it and be able to bear it. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." God is faithful. That's what you can depend on. What is he faithful to do? Number one, he will not suffer or permit you to be tempted above that ye are able. "Oh, I've got such a horrible trial in my life." Then you must be a strong person. "Well, I don't feel strong." Right, because you were born in the flesh long time before you were born in the spirit, and you're used to going to the flesh and having your flesh address life. You need to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and believe God and say, well, yes, the flesh feels like everything is hopeless, but it's not, because God is faithful. Number two, but will with the temptation also make the way to escape. The way to escape must come with the temptation. You don't get it unless, number one, you're able to bear it, because it can't be above what you're able to stand. You won't get it unless there is a way to escape that comes with it. Well, I can't see it. You're not supposed to live by sight. You're supposed to live by faith. Do you believe God or not? Are you a Christian, or are you just a church member? Are you a religionist, or are you a born-again child of God? Are you living from the organization of religion or the organism of the new birth? You need to quit thinking in the concept of the religious church and of the flesh. You need to walk in the Spirit and see the things from the Spirit, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. How do you look at things not seen? By faith we understand. Through faith we see those things that are invisible. What puts you in contact with God? You know what puts you in contact with your problems. Your mind, your flesh. You think about it and you dwell on it. Good, the devil's got you. He's going to drive you nuts playing that over and over again. You can't go to sleep at night for going through that same problem 100 times over. But dear soul, if you just leave it with the Lord and say, God is showing me how strong I am. This heartache, this temptation, this trial is severe. Then God said he would not, number one, allow me to be tempted above my ability. Who gives you your ability? God does. Does he know what your ability is? Well, he's the one that assigned it to you. You say, well, I might not be a five-talent Christian, right? Well, I might not be a two-talent Christian, right? But dear soul, if I'm just a one-talent Christian, that means God's not going to allow anything but one-talent temptation and trials to come upon me. God will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. Settle it. Do you believe God? Then we see that Samuel asked of God, was already there before Ichabod, the glorious departed, was ever born. And Samuel was already not letting any of the words of God fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that he was established to be a prophet. God is among us. How do you get the prophet? There has to be a fallen priesthood. What? How does the prophet of God come on the scene? Right here. Samuel, the first prophet of God. How did God establish him to be a prophet of God in Israel, and all Israel know it? It's because the priesthood had failed. Now, that's one of the things that I have been trying to get people to understand and see for almost 50 years of preaching the Word of God. But one of the hardest things, if not the most impossible thing, for a God-called man to do is to get people to learn that they must maintain a communion within themselves and a God consciousness within themselves that should remain unbroken and should never, ever be left out, but should always be sought forth and developed in your walk with God. Let me ask you this. How many Christians do you know? Well, I know a lot of Christians. Really? Well, okay, here's a definition of a Christian. Pray without ceasing. Now, how many Christians do you know? Well, I don't know that I know anybody that prays without ceasing. Ta-da! Then you don't know that many Christians. Because that's what the Christian is designed to do. Pray without ceasing. How do you do that? Just like there was a little altar in the tabernacle and in the temple that had a fire on it that was never to go out. That fire was to remain burning constantly, and it was to have incense sprinkled on it so the sweet smelling savor of the incense would go up, as it were, into the nostrils of a holy God. So you are to have the fire of God's glory burning within you. And even though you may not be able to close your eyes and fold your little hands and say, "Now lay me down to sleep," or ever how you pray, you better not close your eyes and pray on 285, I can tell you that. You better understand and see that praying without ceasing includes a God consciousness. Are you conscious of God in everything? Well, the boss just called me into his office and blessed me out and said my section wasn't doing too good and it really upset me. Well, you're going to go back and argue about your boss to the other employees, or are you going to, as you walk out of his office, you don't stop and get down on your knees there in the building and say, "Lord, have mercy on me," and start praying out to God. But you say, "Lord, this could not have happened if it were not good for me. For we know that all things, not all pleasant things, not all good things, but all things, even the bad, distasteful, bitter things, we know they work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose." God may have wanted that boss to get in trouble by afflicting one of God's little sheep. Have you ever thought about that? Do you ever understand and see that we enter into the fellowship of His sufferings? Sometimes when you don't do anything wrong and you get blamed, then you can understand how Jesus felt about your sin. Jesus had to pay back that which He did not owe. Jesus had to return that which He had not taken away. It was our sin, not His. "For He," God the Father, "hath made Him," God the Son, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." So you get blamed for something you didn't do. Good. "Well, it ain't good. I don't like it. Makes me feel bad. People think I did wrong and I didn't do wrong." You just talking for yourself, or now you talking about Christ? Do you hear what you're saying? Christ didn't do wrong, but He opened not His mouth. As a lamb, as a sheep that is brought to the slaughter is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. The first Adam said, "The woman thou gavest me, it's her fault." But the last Adam didn't blame you, the church, didn't blame his wife. Just kept his mouth shut and took it. Do you know that many Christians? "Well, I see what you're saying, so I guess I really know a lot of church members." Right. But dear soul, you have to understand that Ichabod is here. The glory has departed. But we are not to give up. We're not to be in despair. It said, "Be careful for nothing." You know what that? No, let me say. It says, "Be anxious for nothing." You say, "Well, I can't. I get anxious about a lot of stuff." Well, God says, "Don't worry about it. I'm putting you in the fellowship of my sufferings. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. That's the way that it is. You stand and sing, 'I must needs go home by the way of the cross.' No, you like to put your voice in there and sing just as loud as you can so that everybody will know that you got a good singing voice. But isn't that song preaching to you so that next week when you get across, you say, 'This is that which is prescribed for me as a Christian'? If I'd never get sight of the gates of light, what was it that I missed? the way of the cross I missed. So do you think you're going to go to heaven without a cross? Do you think you're going to go into the presence of God's glory without seeking your cross? He said, if you don't take up your cross daily, you cannot be my disciple. That's what he said. Get back to our fact, the thing we're looking at. Samuel could not be established to be a prophet of God, which is our lesson title, except there be a fallen priesthood. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. That's the devil, Satan. Eli's boys were just children of the devil. It said, they knew not the Lord. Dear friend, you'd be surprised how many preachers in the pulpit and how many people that are in places of authority in religion that don't know God from a nanny goat. This is 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. You're of your father the devil. They had a birth from beneath, not the born-again birth from above. They knew not God. And the priest custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant came with the flesh while the flesh was in seething, that means it was boiling in a pot, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. He had a hook, it had three teeth on it, like a fork with just three teeth, not four. And he put it in there, and as that meat was boiling, he stuck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, whatever it was boiling in. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. Wait until it's been given to God. Wait until it's boiling. Wait until the servant reaches in with a flesh hook and pulls it out. And that's what the priest and his family gets to eat on that night. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. And before they burned the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest. You're standing there with an animal that has been slaughtered and butchered, and he's saying, you're not going to put that in that pot. We're going to cut off what we want to start with. For he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. Mama wants her steak medium well with a baked potato with butter and sour cream. We don't want no more boiled flesh. And if any man said unto them, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desires. The man said, man, you can't do that. Talking to these priests, these unregenerate priests, Eli's sons. Then he would answer, nay, but thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. We'll throw you down and take it away from you and get what we want one way or another. This is a fallen priesthood. Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. You say, well, it's just a matter of a pot roast. No, it's not. It's a matter of obeying God's will. And the sin was great before the Lord. Why? Listen at second chapter of 1 Samuel, verse 17. For men abhorred the offering of the Lord. When you have a fallen priesthood, you have an abhorrence of the offerings of God. And God is very much offended by this. And men tend to think, well, it's okay. We brought it. That's what God said. But it got to the place where Israel hated bringing their offerings, and they abhorred the offering of God because the priesthood had fallen. Now, you say, well, that's a lot of old history. That's a lot of stuff that, you know, is way back yonder. Well, okay, wait just a minute. chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, verse number 11. Samuel has answered Eli because God's talking to him. And of course, an old fallen priesthood just say, go back to sleep, don't worry about it, it's just God. This old, you try to be spiritual under a fallen priesthood and they will not allow you to do so. And if your priesthood, the priesthood of the believer, if you have not maintained a proper spiritual relationship with God, your flesh will say, don't worry about it, it's all right. Once saved, always saved. And so the Lord comes and talks to Samuel. Verse 11, 1 Samuel 3:11. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. I'm going to make your ears tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. I'm not going to start this and then stop in the middle. I'm going to follow this all the way to the end. I am Alpha and Omega. When I start judging Eli's house, I ain't going to finish until that day when Hophni and Phinehas and Ms. Phinehas and Eli are all dead and you got a baby on your hands. You got to write it on the books. Ichabod. Who in the world raised Ichabod after that? It wasn't his mama. Who in the world raised Ichabod after that? It wasn't his daddy. Dear soul, this thing's a mess. The priesthood has fallen. That's the only reason the prophet appears. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever in the iniquity which he knoweth. 1 Samuel 3:13. Because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house, watch it now, shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Wait a minute. You say, well, that means no matter how many sheep or goats or whatever they bring into the temple or tabernacle, it wasn't going to purge Eli's sins. That's not enough. He said an offering or sacrifice forever. What do you call Calvary? Was not that the sacrifice of all sacrifices? Was not that the offering of all offerings? Did not the apostle say that once Jesus had offered himself one time, he cleansed sin forever? But this says there's not ever going to be a sacrifice or offering that will ever cleanse Eli, Hophni, or Phinehas forever. Even the cross of Jesus Christ is not going to have any effect upon him. Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas are in hell right now. They've been there ever since they died when Ichabod was born. You be careful. Listen, you need to understand, dear soul, Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. You need to understand the priesthood of the believer. Are you a believer? Then you are a believer priest. Wait a minute. Let's read the Bible. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. There's only one Holy Spirit, but he has a sevenfold, manifold ministry in every direction. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Listen, verse 6, Revelation 1, 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, I got saved. What does that mean? Well, I have to be baptized. Okay. What else does that mean? It means I don't have to go to hell. Yep, that's the truth. What else does it mean? It means that you have been made a spiritual priest and you are responsible for communing with God for yourself. There can't be a prophet raised up to bring you the word except there be a fallen priesthood. And you be careful lest you think that churchianity, the raising up of preachers and giving forth of doctrines, is that by which you come in contact with God. It may help you. It may be beneficial to you. I hope it is. That's what I'm doing right now. But dear soul, you should have been communing with God the last 7 days since I stood in this pulpit. You should have been preparing yourself and communing with God and praying without ceasing and not waiting on the next video to appear on YouTube. And dear soul, listen. The reason that there's preaching and that we're trying to get to you the Word of God and help you to understand how to walk with God is because there was a fallen priesthood. Have you failed in what you should have been doing last week? I'm not talking about your morning devotions and then just forget God and go do whatever you want to. I'm not talking about you trying to stay in some reverential religious frame of mind, always thinking about the scriptures and memorizing Bible scriptures and quoting them to yourself all day long. I'm talking about going to the grocery store. Go and get your oil changed. Go and get your tires rotated. I told you I could say that. Going to work, doing what you do, taking care of your family, doing all the daily things. But in the midst of all of that, awareness of God. I know, and I have great sorrow in this, that in the almost 50 years that I've been preaching the Word of God, one of the things that I have been aware of, and the Holy Spirit has made me know this, is that people come to church, sit down and say, okay, mediate God to us, and then they get up and walk out and they don't have no consciousness of God from then on. They think it's your job because they pay you to preach. Dear soul, I don't preach because you pay me. You found that out. There's been times when you couldn't pay me. This church has been really good to me and my family over the years, and I thank God for it. But there's been various times, dear soul, when those kinds of things fell by the wayside. Did I stop preaching? No, because I don't preach for you. I preach for God. I do it for the glory of God. You need to get in on this, and you need to understand that, dear soul, the reason there is a prophet of God standing up preaching the Word of God to you is because the priesthood has failed. You're supposed to be a priest of a priesthood. There is the priesthood of the believer. Let's read some more. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Revelation 5, 9. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every people and kindred and language and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. Again, here we come. You are king in sorrow. You are answerable for your soul. You're king over your own spirituality. You need to grow up and learn how to walk with God and commune with God. Well, I got a problem, but I can't get to preach. Well, good. That's God making sure he cuts you off from that preacher so you will have to come to him. I just prayed a prayer and asked God to help me. Good. Now, what's the next step? Believe God is going to help you and wait to see what happens. Would you read me? Well, let's read one more verse before we get out of Revelation. Revelation 20, the book of the Revelation 20, and verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. First resurrection is regeneration, being born again. On such, the second death hath no power, but they are priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. During the 1,000 years church reign, God's people are going to be priests for themselves. Look at chapter 2 and verse 17 of Revelation while we're here. Revelation 2:17. This is a verse that we have read you and quoted you many times. Revelation 2:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Has the Lord spoken to you? Have you heard his voice? And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Isaiah chapter what? 26, verse 30, somewhere in there? Or it's Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26. You know where it is. You can find it. God may remove your teachers in a corner, it said. Your physical teachers may be removed in a corner. But you will never have the Spirit of God moved into a corner. You will always hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye therein. 1 John 2:20, but ye have an unction with the Holy One. We don't hear preachers preaching about unction anymore. That went out 100 years ago. We don't even know what the word unction means. It means an anointing. Ye have an unction, an anointing with the Holy One, and ye know all things. What does that mean? It means God will give you personally, individually, what you need to know to be able to walk in your life, to be able to walk in your problems, to be able to handle your situation. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God is faithful. He will not permit you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Talk to him. Talk to him. If you walk out of the boss's office after he has accused you of a wrong that you were not guilty of, say, thank you, Lord. In all things, give thanks. Do you know that many Christians? In everything, give thanks. Well, I don't know why God let this happen to me. Is that a Christian? No, that's a religionist. The Christian says, this was unexpected, and I don't know why God let it happen to me, but I know this. He said it's going to work together for my good. And that I am not to be anxious for anything, but just trust in the Lord, lean on him, in all my ways acknowledge him, and he will direct my paths. This is something that's going to make me more holy. This is something that's going to cause me to have a more spiritual mindset. Romans chapter 14, verse 22. I've quoted this verse to you 100 jillion times. At least 4 or 5. Romans chapter 14 and verse 22. Do you have your Bibles? I hope you do. Will you read me the first two phrases of Romans 14 and verse 22? In case you don't have your Bible there with you, and I understand it if you don't. Romans 14, 22. Hast thou faith? Well, of course I have faith. Well, then watch out for the next statement. Have it to thyself before God. Ooh. Hast thou faith? This is the victory that overcometh the world. What is it? Even our faith. It was once delivered to the saints. God gave it to you. It is the gift of God. By grace are you saved through faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. Faith is that which I exercise so that I might have contact with God and pray without ceasing. Walking out of the boss's office instead of fuming and fussing about, I'm going to show him I didn't do that. I'm going to make old so-and-so get in there and tell him that he was the one that did it. Instead of doing that, you walk out of the boss's office and say, Lord, thank you. I've often prayed, Lord, and asked you to make me like Jesus. Now I know how he felt when he had to pay back that which he did not owe. He had to restore that which he did not take away. It was not his problem. He was without sin. It was my sin that did that to him. And he took it in as a lamb before the slaughter is dumb. He opened not his mouth. So I'm not going to open my mouth. I'm just going to say, thank you, Lord, in all things give thanks. Are you a true Christian or are you just a religionist? The prophet don't come onto the scene except there is a fallen priesthood. Has your priesthood fallen? What am I doing here? Why am I required to preach to you? I hope it is to undergird and to establish and support and strengthen your priesthood, that I can help you and be helpers of your joy. That's what the Bible said the preacher is supposed to be, helpers of your joy. And folks ask you, well, how you doing? And you say, God's still on the throne, mercy's still available, and God told me that if I had faith, I was to have it to myself before God. It's my personal faith. He didn't give it to me on the buddy system. He gave it to me personally and individually. When God saved me, he saved me by grace through faith. And that was not of myself. And that faith is the victory that overcometh the world. And through faith we understand. That's what the book said. So I am to exercise my faith personally and privately within my heart of hearts. And hast thou faith, Romans 14:22, have it to thyself before the Lord. No, I've got to call my buddy. I got to put it on my Facebook page and see somebody likes me. Dear soul, it don't matter if the whole world hates you. You need to walk by faith and do what God said and see that you are not going to allow your priesthood, I'll get it out in a minute. You're not going to allow your priesthood to fail. But churchianity today, they don't have no priesthood. They don't have nothing to ask God for. They riding down the road in that new vehicle. They riding down the road with, fully insured, house is paid for, plenty of groceries, everything's fine, money in the bank. We don't have to have faith in God. That's the reason God raises up an old prophet to come and tell you, you need to be careful. I'm going to do a thing in Israel that's going to make everybody's ears tingle. I'm going to do away with Eli and his whole house because he's a fallen priesthood, and I'm not going to let any sacrifice, including my son on the cross, ever have any effect on his redemption. Whew. You don't want that. Maybe I'm called over here today to tell you that you need to do something about your priesthood and you need to get back into believing God and doing it for yourself. God has sent this wonderful epidemic and he has shut down everything for so many months so that you would be taken away from everybody and everything. You couldn't stand within 6 feet of another human being and you had to wear a mask. You had to get shots. So what did you do? Well, I got on my computer and I, really? You missed that opportunity? You didn't decide that this is a glorious opportunity for me to have my faith before God? You're so glad, well, we ain't got to wear our mask no more and we can go back to normal things. So we're going to get back together at church. Well, what does that mean? Does it mean that you and your buddies are going to get back together and y'all going to talk about what, your vacations or your marriages or your children or whatever except God? And you're just going to go away from the church saying, I got to see my buddy today and it was really good. What about your buddy Jesus? What about hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Why are you doing what you're doing? because God has told me to do it, and I'm going to obey the Lord, and I'm going to have my faith to myself before God. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Back when I was just a lad of a boy, used to have real bad earaches, had risings in my ears. Maybe that's why I'm so deaf now. Got a hearing aid in every ear I got. And I remembered my mama singing to me a little song. And don't worry, I'm not going to sing it to you, but the words went like this. I built a cathedral way down in my heart where God holds his counsel with me. No one on this earth has ever been there, for I have the only known key. Every morning and night I am kneeling at my altar where love guides the way, for my prayers bring the help and the hope I need to carry life's burden each day. Everyone on this earth should be building a cathedral, no matter how small. Dear soul, for the Savior is waiting to meet you there in God's faithful love for us all. I had to look that up on the internet. I like to never find it. It took me years to find that song again. I didn't know all the words. I just remembered my mother singing to me, I built a cathedral way down in my heart. And I wondered, what was that all about? And that was the song and the words. I missed some of them. There's more words to it, but I can't remember them right now. But you get the gist of it. And dear soul, that was a lot of years ago. And back then, people seemed to have a more spiritual Christianity than what we do today. Today, we've got a legal Christianity. I hate to call it, that's the reason I hesitated. I was trying to think of another word. There, we have more legal religionists than we do spiritual-minded Christians. Because people seem to adhere to banding together. Do you realize that that's how we got languages and nations? Brother Bobby Quick reminded me of this week, and I was really glad. Genesis chapter number 11. The people said, we need to band together, and we need to come on this particular plane, and we need to build a structure, and we need to build it all the way up to the heavens. Why? Lest we be scattered abroad. But what had God told him to do? Scatter abroad and replenish and multiply and replenish the earth. And God said, you know what? These people are doing exactly what I told them not to do. They're banding together, and God was offended by it. And in Genesis chapter 11, God's response to this effort was, let me get there, verse 7, let us go down and there confound their language, that they might not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. That city is being built again. It's the harlot church. It's churchanity. And we're saying, we're not going to be scattered abroad. That COVID was not intended to do anything, but just give us a little hiccup. Now we can get back together. And they say, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Right. But when are you to assemble yourselves together? He said, where will you be, Lord? He said, I will be wherever the eagles are gathered together, feasting off the carcass. What does that mean? It means churchanity by Jesus Christ's definition, is an individual believer eating Christ's flesh and drinking his blood. But now, COVID's over. Throw away my mask. I can stand closer than 6 feet to anybody if I want to. And thank God we're going back to church and we're going to have our suppers back again. We're going to have our fellowships back again and we're going to enjoy one another. We're going to hug each other's neck and we're going to have all this inordinate affection come back that we thought was true spirituality and it wasn't. I told you and told you and told you that 99% of the religion in the Bible Belt in America is nothing more than the deception of Satan and inordinate affections. People just being excited about being excited. Oh, I love that song. It makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck. Dear soul, you can die and go to hell off a church bench. It's the best place in the world to go to hell from. But dear soul, listen. Listen what Jesus said. Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days should be shortened. Matthew 24 and verse number 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. God told the woman at the well, it's not in your mountain, nor is it at Jerusalem that men are going to worship. It's not in time and place. Don't tell me, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together because you and your group has voted that you meet on Saturday at 10 o'clock or on Sunday at 10:30. And because of that, everybody's supposed to adhere to your schedule. The church coming together, and I'll read it to you in just a minute, is where people are feasting off of his flesh and drinking his blood. In other words, having spiritual communion with Christ in consuming Christ for their life. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before the Lord. Then you don't have faith because you're not having it to yourself before the Lord. You're having it with everybody else involved, patting you on the back and singing, and old lady long tongue hitting that high note in that favorite song of yours, and you getting tears in your eyes and chill bumps running up and down your neck and the hair standing up on the back of your neck. That's not Christianity. You don't really know that many Christians. Christians pray without ceasing. Christians rejoice evermore. Christians in all their ways acknowledge him and trust him to direct their path. Christians have faith that they have to themselves before the Lord. They don't tell you about it. It's none of your business. That's what he told Peter. That's what he told Peter. Peter said, what shall this man do? Asking about what shall John do. You know what Jesus told him? He said, what is that to thee? What is that to thee? You follow God. That's what it's supposed to do. Let me read it to you. I'll come right back to Matthew 24. John 21. The book of John, chapter 21. In verse number 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, following. Let me start all over. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following. When he also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeth him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Well, I want you to give me your prayer request because I'm going to talk to God about you. You be careful about that. You need to talk to God about yourself. Listen. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Jesus will not have you trying to attend others' faith. What is that to thee? It's none of your business. Follow thou me. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before the Lord. Let's read on, Matthew 24. If any man, verse 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there is Christ, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. And Jesus said he's going to shorten those days for the elect's sake. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Well, we're really having a great revival down here. You need to come down here. Well, if God's not where you are right then, you ain't going to find him when you get down there. You just wasted a lot of gas and wore out your tires. Listen, behold, he is in the desert. Go not forth. Or, behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. Listen, this is Matthew 24, 27. You better listen to this, and you better keep your priesthood from failing. And if it is failing, you need to listen to the old prophet of God bring the word back to you to help you reestablish your priesthood. Matthew 24, 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth to the west, that's the way it is. God is going to flash his revelation to you for his own glory and for your own direction. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, my goodness, Lord Jesus, you're talking about yourself as a carcass. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. That's how he described the attending of the Lord in a spiritual and God's acceptable way. The true church is like eagles feasting upon a carcass, drinking his blood and eating his flesh. Have you not read John chapter 6 and wondered, what in the world does that mean? He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath life. Except a man eat my flesh and drink my blood, he hath no life. And this is all we need to get back to having personal relationship with God. You need to recover the priesthood of the believer. And not just depend on Brother Gene to come bring us a sermon. Why do you need Samuel to bring you a word except the priesthood has fallen? Let me finish up. Our time's about gone. Revelation chapter 3. We'll try to bring you some more on this in our second message. I trust we'll be able to. Revelation chapter 3. And verse, what do I want? Here it is. I was in chapter 2. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 19. We need to back way on up. Verse 17 is the confident religion that's saying, I'm rich and increased with good and have need of nothing. But what you don't know is you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, spiritually speaking. Jesus said, I counsel of thee to buy me gold tried in the fire. No temptation taking you, but that which is common to man. God is faithful. He said, strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you. He said, I counsel of thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. These are personal things that God is talking to the personal individual Christian. You need to get back to where you were when you first got saved. being excited about spirituality, thanking God for salvation, understanding that you can lose your priesthood. You do know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. There's your temple. That's where you're supposed to be worshiping. Of all the seven churches of Asia, none exist anymore. They're gone. Shiloh, the place where Samuel ministered, is gone. God destroyed it, raised up Jerusalem. And we'll read you in the book of Jeremiah where he told Jerusalem, I'm going to do to you, Jerusalem, what I did to Shiloh. You better remember Shiloh and how I destroyed it because of the failure of the priesthood. Let me read you this last verse. Revelation 3, 19 and 20, these last two verses. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Jesus Christ is outside the church door. Excuse me. If any man, if any one individual inside of that religious order hear my voice and open the door, I, individual, will come into him individually and will sup with him and he with me. Revelation 3:20 is God trying to tell you that churchianity don't get it. True Christianity is having thy faith, hast thou faith, have it to thyself before the Lord. The church comes and meets together. And that's the reason that you have the wonderful spiritual times, because everyone is individually trusting and believing in God. But Jesus Christ is like it is. Our time's gone. I'm sorry. I'm over time. Read Revelation 3:20. He's at the door outside the church knocking and wanting any individual to come and let him in and reestablish the priesthood of the believer. God have mercy. Lord willing, we'll look at the rest of this in our next lesson.